like say financial knowledge. It's not something our families knew much about it. It was much of work hard, buy a house, a car, and just keep on working hard.
You're listening to Property Investor Tales, stories from the front yard.
Welcome to Property Investor Tales, Stories from the Front Yard, where I get to speak to property investors from around Australia about their investing journey. My name is Megan Wolfenden, and I'm one of the advisors here at Positive Real Estate, where we help people build wealth through property. With over 8,000 clients across Australia and New Zealand, there are some incredible stories to tell, which hopefully make your investing journey a little bit easier and will inspire you along the way. So my guest today is the fabulous Juan Ramuno, and we discuss their arriving in Australia, backpacking with $5,000 to their name, and within 6 years buying their own home. A few years later, they were able to release equity and buy two investment properties. Juan talks about the importance of getting educated and putting the time in to learn and stay organized. Enjoy this conversation with Juan. Hello, everybody. My name is Megan Wolfenden, and today I am hosting the podcast with our fabulous guest, Juan Ramuno. And Juan will also be representing his fabulous wife, Natalia. How are you, Juan?
I'm doing great. Thank you. Doing really great.
Good one, mate. Welcome. Good to see you. Great to have you here. And let's get straight on in, because Juan, you were telling me about when you backpacked over here to Australia and ended up staying. So tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, what was it? Probably when we were 25, 26, finishing uni. Just wanted to travel around, improve our English, and at the end of the day, Australia was looking really good. We came backpacking. And yeah, probably after 3 months here, we just got really hooked with the lifestyle. We are from a landlocked city, so being close to the beach and the ocean was stunning. And just try to and work our way around to how to stay in here. And that's been 10 years ago plus.
Brilliant. And what city did you end up in?
Typically went straight to Sydney. Spent there close to a year, and then I found a pretty good job opportunity in Newcastle.
Brilliant.
And I was sorting all our visa situations and so on. Came temporarily to Newcastle, and that's been 9 years. This is home now. Yes.
This is home. That's awesome. And what are you doing for work now?
I'm an industrial engineer, which that doesn't really exist here. So I ended up doing a master in supply chain management and currently a supply chain manager. Yes.
Brilliant. Great. So it must have been a quite a big big job to save for a deposit then. If you came with just a few thousand dollars, how did you do that?
Basically, we with my wife, we were having the same idea of let's try to save and invest for it. So basically, we're just review what were our biggest expenses, and we just started trying to drop them the most we could and just save the most we could. Basically, by then it was accommodation was the biggest expense we had, so we just basically were trying to reduce those costs and trying to be affluent and just
nice. How long did it take you to save for your home?
Well, we have up. So by 2019, we just took a gap year and we blew most of our savings. But yeah, probably another 2 years until we just started with our first property. Yes.
Nice. Very good. And so back at home, what was family life and financial life back in Argentina?
So basically, we come from beautiful families, beautiful backgrounds. It's really embedded the idea of work hard, study, and just keep on working hard. Regrettably, as beautiful families there, we don't have a same. With my wife, we have really similar families. We don't have a let's say, financial knowledge. It's not something our families knew much about it. It was much of work hard, buy a house, a car, and just keep on working hard. Yeah. And as well, probably something, it's something we have been breaking with the time. And as well, there was the thing of money is a taboo. You don't speak about money. So yes, it's been just relearning that.
Right.
Relearning that. But yes.
And when they've come to visit, have you told them where what you've achieved so far, or is it still taboo?
To be honest, probably, they know our, they have come to our house, they know it. But yeah, no, probably, honest, probably it's still a bit of taboo for us. Yeah, we have not told them yet. It's something we're just keeping low. Yes, as well, there is probably the idea, the general knowledge that property investment or idea. Stereotype that investment is for rich people, and if you are investing, you are a millionaire and so on. And it's quite different for whoever knows. So yeah. Ah,
interesting. Well, then what gave you the impetus to start investing in property after you bought your own home?
Initially, we always were planning for the future, and we were looking like 30 years up front, and just it was feeling like a burden just getting to, I don't know, maybe 60s and just have a lot of savings and actually not have done anything with them. I mean, could have invested in something. By randomness, I ended up coming to a PRE workshop. But again, it was a workshop. I went by myself. My wife couldn't assist. Came with the ideas, came really excited. And then really nothing happened, just kind of let it go. And then after a year or so, my wife pushed it. And we just started learning more, understanding more, and we just decided to proceed.
Excellent, excellent. I know you're working with one of our wonderful coaches, and one of the first things you did was a house and land in Queensland. Tell us about that experience.
So basically, with that one, the whole process, we did not have a lot of savings. We were probably in the $40,000-$50,000 of saving. It was not huge. But what ended up happening, we were lucky, or we were guided through the process, that we ended up releasing equity from our house, the principal place of residency, the house we're living. Luckily, that worked really well for us, and that gave us a big equity release.
Nice.
Which actually, that gave us enough buffer to proceed with the following two properties, actually.
Brilliant.
We ended up splitting that money into the first house and land in Palara, and then we just kept it. And 6 months after that, we just went with the unit in Footscray in Victoria.
Nice. Very cool. So that was around 2021.
Yes.
Okay. And so along the way, I know that you've been getting your interest rates right and working on your tax refunds and working on the rent. You had some really good news when we caught up last time about what you've saved. So tell us about those savings recently.
Yeah, well, that's been quite a relief. Basically, it ended up being quite a similar solution for the two properties. So far, we have two, our principal place of residency and two investment properties. But yes, it was with the mortgage broker, it ended up being a negotiation with interest rates of the banks, which in one of the properties, we ended up having a reevaluation of the place, what took longer than expected. But in the other hand, that property ended up having $300,000 plus increase in the value, which was great. But yes, and they are renegotiating the interest rates. In the same timeline, we ended up, the lease ended up came to a renew. So that ended up being a bump as well. So in between all that, for each property, it's a cash flow benefit of around 4,000 plus on each unit, in each property, which is
per annum.
That seemed, it was pretty
right.
Excited about it.
Very cool. And the tax refunds, you said, were around $20,000 between you as well.
Yes, in between the two properties. Yes, last year was about $20,000 a year. That it's, yes. Nice. It's a big part of the savings, yes.
Excellent. And what did you do with the 20K?
They just remain in savings for the next. It's just, so far it's just going on the savings. Yes.
Right. Did you put it in offset against your own home?
Yes, perfect. They're all in the offset. All our savings are in the offset against our own home. Yes.
Brilliant. And your buffer as well, right?
Yeah, everything is there. We, in our head, it's split. Nonetheless, it's in the same offset account to add up, but yes.
Nice. So there's a couple of lessons there. So the broker helped you pull out equity from your own home. That allowed you to get into two properties.
Yes.
And then later the broker was able to refinance because you had some nice equity in the new properties that gave you a better interest rate. Plus you've been able to put the rents up on a regular basis. So you've had property management help there. Awesome. Plus you've worked with your accountant to make sure you get the best possible tax refunds.
Indeed.
Awesome. And all of those properties were new. So you'd had additional depreciation with that.
Yes, that's
very cool. Very cool.
Handy.
Okay. I was looking through actually at your goals for 2020. You know, you've achieved those things that you set out to do in the 3-year goals. You've actually achieved them.
We were reviewing them a couple of months ago. Yes.
Congratulations. So do you regularly write your goals or review your goals?
Yearly, yes.
Nice.
Yes.
Excellent. Very cool. How about tracking spending habits? How were you, say around the 2019, how were you at tracking your spending habits back then?
Usually I'm an engineer, quite a numeric person. Probably I was just tracking them in an overall view. I was just honestly, we were knowing how much money we were saving per month and the overall major expenditures, but that was it. Probably after we joined PRE, clearly with investments and so on, we just started tracking them in a different way. Clearly, once we have a property investment, with all the movements of money, all the movements are significantly. We just started tracking them differently. Mostly it's just for the sake of knowing where the big expenses are. It's just for knowing. We are still not really limiting ourselves a lot, but sometimes we had bad concepts in our head. We were just sometimes refusing a coffee in the morning or a second coffee in the week because maybe we were spending a lot of money and we need to save, and it was completely wrong. Sometimes we're thinking that $5-$10 a week was going to make a change. And after some reviews, let's say for insurance, we're expending about $2,000 a year. So it's just we know now where our expenses are and we can decide. Nice. And we know what's going to impact us and what is not going to impact us.
Yeah, that's good. So you can still have fun.
Yes.
But know, especially with some of the big expenses, you're really going to make sure that you're getting the best possible value out of those big ones. Yeah, very cool.
And especially we have started reviewing probably the statical big expenses. And for example, we found out about 2 months ago that we were overpaying for insurance. Basically, that's about $2,000 a year. Yearly, I'm reviewing the services, the electricity, gas, and so on. This year, we got about a $600 rebate on the year, and it's quick. I mean, it takes a couple of hours in a year, honestly, but
it adds
sometimes
up.
We were worrying about going out for a dinner, and I was having $2,000 wasting it every year for nothing.
Wow. So you've gone through all of those utilities and checked all of that. Very cool. Yeah, I like it. Very cool. And all right, so we started talking before about some lessons learned. Mm-hmm. What you said, one of the main lessons learned was on the human side. Tell me about that.
Probably the biggest lesson with my wife I've learned is that everything was on the teamwork. At least we have started this journey with my wife. And everything is on the teamwork and being on synchrony. As I mentioned it before, but I wouldn't have started if it wasn't for my wife. I came with the idea. I just went to the workshop, but then I let it go. Honestly, I was just going to do the typical of probably start trying to pay my mortgage quick. My wife just pushed the idea. If she wouldn't have pushed it, wouldn't have made it. And then it's so much easier when you are in synchrony. There's a lot of it could be overwhelming sometimes. Probably I'm more of the numeric person. So when there's a lot of cash flow movements, my wife would come concerned saying, "What are we doing?" Or sometimes and I just probably go through it and I run with her, and many times probably I'm the one tired, just trying to, once you quit, and she would come with a completely different point of view. But yeah, that's probably the human side, the teamwork's been everything in our case.
So teamwork and different skills, right? Yes. So yeah. And so she wanted you to take action and you thought, okay, we're gonna actually get something happening and yeah, take some action. Yeah, good.
Literally, yes.
Yeah. Okay, so the cash flow is overwhelming. What do you do to stop things being overwhelming when you've got a lot going on with the properties and you want to make sure that you're getting the right cash coming in and going out? How do you stop that being overwhelming?
How to learn. Oh, in my case, I just learned as much as possible and put the time and understand what's going on and the numbers. Clearly cash flow, you see we have three properties, the cash flow, it's three times bigger. In the same way it goes down, it goes up. And then you see probably the balances towards the end of the year and it changes. And then suddenly you receive a bump after the tax back, a massive bump. It's just, in our case, it's learning as much as possible and make the numbers and see them with a cold head, basically. In the other way as well, probably tend to automate everything the much I can, the most I can. In the same way, we have three times more bills, three times more everything. But put the time, a couple of hours, 1 week in the year, and just try to automate everything, and it just makes it much easier. But yeah, anyway, in a monthly way, I'm reviewing everything. But I'm a number guy. I just like it. Honestly, I enjoy it.
Do you keep it on spreadsheets? Is that what the numbers guy likes? Spreadsheets?
Yes, all spreadsheets. Yes.
Cool. Awesome. So I know that you got to Australia young and you did quite a lot from age 26 and now you're 37. So you've done very well. When you have young children or older children that are sort of moving into adulthood, what would you want them to know about property investing?
That's a good question. About property investment. Well, I would definitely run them through the processes. I think one of the things that was holding me before starting, it was just the overall lack of knowledge. In my head, I didn't know how equity was working. I didn't know about the benefits of a negative gearing or tax or the tax return. In my head, while doing really quick numbers, property investment was not working. I mean, it was just like, it wasn't, yes. And it was something you were doing if you were a rich person. Mm. But yeah, just explaining how the whole system works and how it's actually doable and how it works and how assets grow up. And yes, definitely.
Excellent. And I didn't ask you this question in preparation, but how many properties do you reckon you're going to own by the time you retire? Just a guess.
I think I would another 2 or 3. So probably besides our house, another 2 or 3 properties. So probably 5.
Nice. Excellent.
Probably that's where we're aiming. Yeah.
Okay, cool. And does that mean early retirement for you?
That's in the big plans. Yes.
The big plans.
Yes.
Awesome. Big goals, huh?
Yes.
Awesome. Awesome. So if somebody is thinking about getting into investing and they're listening to this podcast, what would be your advice to somebody who's just getting started?
Okay. Well, definitely. Clearly, well, if they are starting already, probably learn the most you can. It's just impressive how little, or you know, in general, people knows about this. And once you have a structure of cost and investments, and you understand equity and how everything works, it's so much more accessible of what it thinks. And then if you put it in the loan scheme and you plan it in 20, 30 years off, 30 years away, it just makes a lot of sense.
Nice, nice, awesome. Yeah. Well, Juan, thank you so much for being on the podcast today. I think that we've got some really nice nuggets out of that. Definitely, it's important to learn, have a structure, and have the right people on your team and helping you out, and then taking action like your wonderful wife suggested, just get in there and actually take some action as well as learn. And I think that you've done some amazing things as a new Australian. You've really created something very, very special. So wish all the best to you both. And thank you for being on the podcast today. It's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you. See you soon.
Hey, thanks for listening to Property Investor Tales. Remember to subscribe so you get notified every time a new episode drops. As you can guess, I love hearing people's property investor tales. So if you'd like to share yours, then please get in touch with me via email at propertyinvestortales@positivementor.com.au. We would also love your feedback, and I would appreciate a 5-star review over on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. Remember, you can watch all of these podcasts over on YouTube at Positive Mentor or at positivementor.com.au. Until then, take care, happy investing, and bye for now.